Prestige Worldwide Dynasty Fantasy Football League Podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by Baywall PPC. Pay-per-click puts you in the captain's seat of your marketing efforts. Through data-driven optimization, your brand will be put front and center in front of your key demographics. We'll help you bring in increased conversions and qualified sales leads. Our pay-per-click team will examine your traffic to make sure you're not wasting a penny on unnecessary spend and focus on driving in traffic that will maximize your return on investment. Visit BaywallPPC.com to learn more. All right, we're back. Another week in the NFL, another week in the Prestige Worldwide Dynasty Fantasy Football League. What a week it was. First, let's start with life updates. Let's see. This past Friday, went to the Tigers game. Said goodbye to Miguel Cabrera. It was pretty cool. They had a cool little light show with drones after the game that honored him pretty nicely. So that was cool. Kind of just hung out the rest of the weekend and watched football and whatnot. So, pretty chill. This week, I unfortunately have to go to my parents and pull the jet skis out of the water. Say goodbye to the jet skis for another season. Another season in the books. Yeah, it's always a sad day. But, gotta do it. It's October. Fall's here. So, yeah, kind of just take them out and on to the next one. Anyways, let's jump into the game scores here. Thursday night, our beloved Lions crushed the Green Bay Packers. On the road at Lambeau, and rumor is Lambeau is now called Ford Field West. So, that's pretty cool. A lot of Lions fans were at the game from what I could see. So, really cool to see. Lions take the victory. Jordan Love led the quarterbacks with 17.6. David Montgomery had a massive game, 33.1. Amon Ross slightly out edged Dobbs by a tenth of a point, had 14.1. Sam Laporta, 7.6. And the defense for the Lions had 11. Next was the morning game over in London, Jacksonville, Atlanta. Did not watch it because I don't care about watching football at 9:30 in the morning. Just would rather not do so. But anyways, Jacksonville crushes Atlanta 23-7. Trevor Lawrence 16.4. Bijan 16.2. Christian Kirk 12.4. Jonnu Smith. Wow. Jonnu Smith 12.5. And the Jaguars defense 21 points. Next one was thought to be the game of the week. Buffalo absolutely smashes Miami 48-20. Josh Allen 36.5. Devon Achane 25.5. So another solid week out of him. Stephon Diggs 33 points, 120 and 3 touchdowns. I mean, that dude's just insane. From the tight ends, Durham Smythe 6.1. And the defenses, the Bills had 11. Carolina and Minnesota. kind of just a shit game. Unfortunately, Minnesota gets the win. I was really hoping they'd go on 4 just for the Lions' sake, but they managed to sneak out a win here. Kirk Cousins, 9.5. Alexander Mattison, 10.3. Justin Jefferson, 23.5. Hackenson 3.4, so not much out of tight ends. And defenses, Vikings at 19. This was the ultimate shit show of the week. Denver edges out Chicago 31-28. Yeah, I watched most of this one, and Justin Fields had pretty much the game of his life, and they still lost. So the Bears are absolutely terrible. Yeah, that's about it on that. Justin Fields, 27.9. Khalil Herbert, 20.2. DJ Moore, 23.1. Cole Kmet, wow, 24.1 out of Cole Kmet. And the Broncos defense, 14. Snooze fest of the week, Baltimore smashes Cleveland, 28-3. Deshaun Watson did not play. Kind of a weird thing. Apparently he was cleared to play, but then he was just like, nah, I ain't playing. So he didn't play. Lamar Jackson, 28.4. Jerome Ford at 7. Zay Flowers at 6.5. Mark Andrews, big game out of him, 22.5. And the defense, Baltimore Ravens, 17. Houston absolutely obliterates Pittsburgh. Kenny Pickett went out of the game early in this one. Yeah, it turns out Houston's actually pretty good, though. Kind of crazy. C.J. Stroud's actually looking nice. 21.8 from him. 11.3 from Pierce. 32.3 from Nico Collins. Massive game on Nico Collins. Dalton Schultz, 11.7. And Houston Texans defense, 14. Overtime thriller. Rams edge out the Colts in overtime, 29-23. Anthony Richardson, 29.6. Massive game out of him. Turns out he's pretty good for fantasy. Maybe not for real life, though. Kyren Williams, 26.2. Puka Nacua, 26.8 from him. He caught the game-winning touchdown there. Alec Ogletree, tight end from, man, Indiana always has weird, sorry, Indianapolis always has like a different tight end like every week doing something. It's crazy. Ogletree, 12.3. The Rams defense edges out the Colts defense, 5 points to 4 points. Another snooze fest here. Tampa Bay crushes New Orleans, 26-9. For whatever reason, Derek Carr decided to play in this one after spraining his AC joint like a week ago. So absolutely wild that he chose to play. Turned out to not be in New Orleans' favor because they sucked. Baker Mayfield, 22.9. Alvin Kamara may just return off suspension, 14.9 out of him. Chris Godwin led the way, 15.4. Cade Otton, 8.8 on the tight end spot. Buccaneers defense, 15. This one was like a thriller. Watched some of this game. 34-31, Philly edges out Washington in overtime. Washington scored with no time on the clock at the end of the fourth to tie up the game. Riverboat Ron decided to not live up to his name and just decided to kick the extra point and take it to overtime. And it just did not work in their favor, as they unfortunately lost. Jalen Hurts, 24.1. DeAndre Swift, 15.9 at the running back spot. A.J. Brown, massive game out of A.J. Brown, 34 points. Logan Thomas, 5.8 at the tight end spot. And defense, Eagles, with a measly 5 points there. So, yeah, big division game there. That was a good one to watch. Another snooze fest here. Tennessee crushes Cincinnati, 27-3. Yeah, not really sure why Joe Burrow is out there, man. I mean, if you look at Joe Burrow's stats, like, their backup could just be doing the same thing. Like, just put him in. Let Joe Burrow rest. 1-3, I'd say their season's over pretty much, unfortunately. Because if Joe Burrow's out there right now, he's just an absolute statue. So, I mean, they scored 3 points. So, that's enough of that. Tannehill, 12.7. Derrick Henry, massive game out of him. He ran for a touchdown and he threw a touchdown. And of course, he did all that less than a week after me trading him away off of my roster, because that's just how life works, you know. 23.88 from him. Westbrook Ekeen led the wide receivers with 13.6. Jay Weil, I don't even know what this is. Josh Weil, never heard of him in my life. He led the tight ends, Tennessee 9.6 out of him, and the Titans defense, 14 points. Chargers versus Raiders, Chargers edge out the Raiders 24-17. I was watching some of this one, kind of a weird game. I know Herbert got hurt and was basically flipping off the entire world with his injury. But he did manage 23.38 points. Josh Jacobs, big game out of him, 23.9. Devontae Adams, 11.5. He got kind of banged up in that game, but led the receivers. Tight ends, absolutely nothing out of the tight ends. Listen to this. Austin Hooper, 1.6. And the other side, Gerald Everett, 1.9. And that was all the production out of the tight ends. Defense, Chargers managed to put up 16 points there. Another absolute snooze fest. Dallas absolutely crushes the souls of the New England Patriots, 38-3. Yeah, just an absolutely dominating performance. Dallas is really, really good. Prescott, 14.34. Tony Pollard led the way with 7.5. CeeDee Lamb, 12.8. Jake Ferguson, 11.2. And the Cowboys defense, 28 points. So yeah, just an absolutely dominating performance from them. Mac Jones sucks at quarterback. Yeah, that's all I'll say on that one. Arizona loses to San Francisco, 35-16. Basically, all you need to know is that Christian McCaffrey is an absolute monster. I mean, that dude is just insane at running the football. It's actually wild. Anyways, Brock Purdy, 21. Or no. Josh Dobbs edges him. Josh Dobbs. Josh freaking Dobbs. 23.4 points. McCaffrey, like I said, 45.2 points. Massive day out of him. Michael Wilson, the rookie for Arizona, 23.1. Tight end, Zach Ertz, 8.3. And San Francisco beats out the Cardinals defense 2 points to negative 3 points. And then we went to Sunday night. The Chiefs barely get by Zach Wilson and the Jets. Zach Wilson actually had a pretty decent game. He did unfortunately cost his team the game with that fumbled snap, but I don't know. It's to be expected. I mean, he's Zach Wilson. The Jets are the Jets, and yet they lose this game. Zach Wilson, 19.2. Isaiah Pacheco, massive game out of him, 23.3. Alan Lazard, 13.6. Noah Gray, 9.9. And the Jets defense, 7 points. And then yesterday's absolute trash football game. I mean, Daniel Jones is fucking terrible, man. Like, what in the hell was that? That was so sad to watch. Daniel Jones sucks. What an absolute waste of a contract for the New York Giants. Really unfortunate, but nothing really can really do. I mean, he just sucks. So, but that being said, he did edge out Geno Smith in points by 0.2 of a point, 8.72. Kenneth Walker, 13.9. DK Metcalf, 10.9. Noah Fant, 7.3. And a big game out of Seattle's defense, 32 points. As Seattle just rolls over the New York Giants, 24-3. Yeah, and those were the NFL scores of the week. And yeah, let's move on.
And just a gruesome injury to Taylor. We won't show it. We're not doctors, so we're not going to speculate, but I'm fairly certain that your leg is not supposed to bend that way.
All right, injuries for this week. But first thing, bye weeks are here, folks. That completely changes the entire fantasy landscape. Bye weeks are huge. I mean, you're going to be sitting guys that are key parts of your team coming up here in these weeks, so... week 5 by Cleveland Browns, Los Angeles Chargers, Tampa Bay Bucks, Seattle Seahawks. So a few key guys there, but nothing too terrible. Anyways, injuries. Justin Herbert, finger on his non-throwing hand. According to Ian Rappaport, Herbert has a fractured finger and a bad fingernail injury. This doesn't sound serious, but these injuries can be extremely painful. He obviously finished the game, but the Chargers' bye week couldn't have come at a better time. Herbert could be marginally impacted by this injury during exchanges with the center, but overall, this isn't a reason to fade him. Kenny Pickett, knee/MCL. Reports have surfaced that Pickett suffered an MCL sprain and bone bruise, which adds up with what we see on video. Other quarterbacks who have missed 0 or 1 weeks of time due to an MCL sprain include Russell Wilson, 0 games, Drew Brees, 0 games, Ryan Fitzpatrick, 1 game, Jacoby Brissett, 1 game. The most recent QB to miss time due to a bone bruise was Andy Dalton in 2021 when he missed 2 games. Oh man, Andy Dalton. It's kind of a missed 2 games, bro, for a bone bruise. Come on, man. Keep in mind, it's early, and these are only a few examples. For now, plan on being without a mobile Pickett for at least 1 week. With the week 6 bye week, it's possible Pittsburgh holds Pickett under week 7, holds Pickett out until week 7, so be prepared for that as well. Consider adding Mitch Trubisky in deeper leagues and downgrade the pass catchers for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Matthew Stafford, hip pointer. Stafford suffered a hip injury last week, but Jay Glazer is reporting he will play. This injury can be painful, but Stafford has played through worse. Watch out for a small chance of re-injury, but with Cooper Kupp potentially making his return, fire up Stafford up in league and every league and try your best to acquire Kupp one more time. Mike Evans, hamstring. The Bucs are headed into their bye week, which, in the grand scheme of things, could save Mike Evans' season. That's no exaggeration. Typically, wide receivers try to return too soon from hamstring injuries, as we saw with Keenan Allen last year. Still, this is something to monitor, as wide receivers who are 28-plus years old miss no time initially after injury, but end up having a setback 64% of the time. If I'm risk-averse, I'm looking to trade away Evans for a comparable wide receiver, or even for his teammate, Chris Godwin. T. Higgins, ribs fracture. Higgins has rib fractures, plural rib fractures, which is a huge blow as there's nothing to do about this except allow time to pass. The timeline for these injuries typically doesn't result in longer than 2 to 4 weeks. Some examples of wide receivers who miss 0 to 1 games due to this injury are Alshon Jeffrey, Zay Jones, Julian Edelman, Emmanuel Sanders, Allen Robinson, Kenny Galladay, Daniel Amendola, and DJ Chark. Still, in 2021, A.J. Brown sat out for 4 weeks due to this exact injury. For now, plan on being without T. Higgins for 0 to 1 weeks, with the possibility of extending out to 4 weeks. As a 1-3 or 0-4 team with Burrow on the mend and Higgins now ailing, I'm looking to move any of my Bengals for options who are comparable but more reliable now. Javonte Williams, hip flexor strain. Williams has a hip flexor strain, which is theoretically a groin injury. Adam Schefter reports this injury might not cost Williams any time at all. Based on the data, the average amount of missed time for this injury is 7 to 21 days, with a median of 18 days. It seems like, at worst, Williams will miss just 1 game, if any at all. In theory, lost my spot reading this. Even if Williams plays, the Broncos will need to temper his workloads, which likely contributed to this issue in the first place. Davante Adams, AC sprain, parentheses shoulder, close parentheses. Adams went down in week 4 with what appeared to be an AC sprain issue. He finished the game but was clearly limited. His practice status will be one to monitor this week. Because he returned in week 4, it's possible he will play in week 5, but that's not a lot quite yet. He'll be moderately volatile if he plays in week 5. Pat Freiermuth, hamstring. Reports on the Pittsburgh tight end are that this isn't just a tweak. As of today, it sounds like the Muth could miss 2 to 3 games, if not more, given Pittsburgh's conservative medical staff. As of today, plan to be without the tight end at least until after the Steelers' week 7 bye. Down with Parham. Wrist. The Chargers tight end may have broken his wrist based on video. If that's the case, Gerald Everett could see more targets after the bye week. Keep an eye on this one and make a savvy trade move once it's confirmed if you're struggling at tight end. And then just a couple players to monitor this week. Just keep in mind, Jonathan Taylor. Don't really know what that situation is, but monitor it. Cooper Kupp and Jeff Wilson Jr. And that rounds out the injuries from the week. All right, let's get into the weekly report from week four from the Prestige Worldwide Dynasty Fantasy Football League. Best manager goes to Team Nighthawk. He set a lineup that was 96% of the perfect possible lineup with 136.68 points. So congratulations, Team Nighthawk. Worst manager, the Gilded Lady, set the worst lineup and only scored 62% of their perfect possible lineup. So congratulations, worst manager of the week, the Gilded Lady. Biggest blowout, Team Meldel JA absolutely obliterated the Gilded Lady, 142.7 to 62.86, which was a margin of victory of 127%. Absolutely nuts. Narrow victory, Team Mena squeaks by Team Mycancho, 108.1 to 103.84, with a margin of 4.1%. High scorer of the week, Team Boats and Hoes, with 151.22. The low scorer of the week, no surprise here, the Gilded Lady with 62.86. Overachiever, Team Simiet, overachieved their projection by 60%. Below expectation, Liver Spotted Hands fell short of their projection by 24%. QB of the week, Team Simiet started the best quarterback of the week, Josh Allen, with 36.5 points. Running back of the week was started by Team, what am I looking at here? Oh, Mycancho started Christian McCaffrey, 45.2. Massive week out of him, as I mentioned earlier. Wide receiver of the week, Team Boats and Hoes, started A.J. Brown, 34. Team Nighthawk started the tight end of the week, Cole Kmet, 24.1. Team Simiet started the defense of the week, Seattle Seahawks, 32 points. Bench warmer of the week, Mycancho, sorry. Mycancho started our left Baker Mayfield on the bench. bench warmer of the week. Team Simiet left Khalil Herbert on the bench. Wide receiver bench warmer of the week. Nico Collins was left on the bench by Team Mena, 32.3. Tight end bench warmer of the week. The Gilded Lady left Dalton Schultz on the bench, 11.7. And then Team Titan Up left the defense of the week on the bench, the Jacksonville Jaguars, who they had 21 points. All right, and then a quick rundown of the matchups from week four from around the league. Team Boats and Hoes crushed me this week, 151.22 to 113.68. Team Boats and Hoes moves to 4-0, and I move to 2-2. 36-minute phone calls. Gets by Liver Spotted Hands, 101.82 to 71.72. Liver Spotted Hand, or sorry, 36-minute phone calls, gets his first win of the season, moves to 1-3. Liver Spotted Hands drops to 2-2. Team Nighthawk gets by Team Titan Up, 136.68 to 110.86. Team Nighthawk moves to 3-1. Team Titan Up drops to 2-2. Team Mena gets by Mycancho, 108.1. to 103.84. Team Mena picks up their first win of the week, or of the season, 1-3. And Mycancho drops to 3-1. Team Simiet gets by Team Johnny Watts, 149.9 to 81.3. Team Simiet moves to 2-2. And that loss drops Team Johnny Watts to 2-2. And then Team Meldel JA, as mentioned earlier, just absolutely blew the doors off of the Gilded Lady, 142.7 to 62.86. That puts Team Metal JA up to 2-2, and that'll drop the Guild Lady to a miserable 0-4. And the standings, Boats and Hoes 4-0 with waiver 6 leads the league. Nighthawk 3-1 with waiver 1. Team Iconto 3-1 with waiver 2. Johnny Watts 2-2 with waiver 10. Titan Up 2-2 waiver 9. Myself, Team TKK 2-2 waiver 3. Team MLJ 2-2 waiver 5. Liver Spotted Hands 2-2 waiver 7. Team Simiette 2-2 waiver 4. And then the absolute bottom of the barrel of the league, Team Mena, 1-3 waiver 1. 36 modern phone calls, 1-3 waiver 12. And the Guild Lady 0-4 waiver 8. So yeah, that pretty much wraps up week 4. Like I said, what a week it was. Another week in the books. Let's go ahead and take a look at some early betting for week 5.
There's this general thought, this consensus, that whenever sportsbooks are offering a promotion or when they're boosting odds, they're trying to trick you, basically. They're trying to bait you into taking a bet that they know is going to lose, or the promotion itself is a scam. And of course, reading the terms is very important, but sportsbooks aren't trying to trick you. What they're trying to do is get users on their platform.
All right, on Thursday, we get the wonderful matchup of the Washington Commanders versus the Chicago Bears. Just a great primetime matchup between two powerhouse teams. So for betting purposes, here's what you're going to do. You want to open up your sports book. You're going to want to go over to alternate spread. If your book offers alternate spread, you're going to want to drop the Commanders down to -5.5. And you're going to want to smash that button and bet it. Beyond that, you're going to want to go over to defensive props in this game. You're going to scroll down to PATs made for my man Joey Sly. And you're going to see that it's set at 2.5, and you're going to absolutely smash the over at +114 on my book. He's absolutely making 2.5 or more PATs. So that's that. Other than that, I know I did this last week, but it's a little too early to go dive into the rest of the game. So I don't even have a lot of the props up or anything. So we'll just stick with the Thursday stuff for now. And yeah, that wraps up the betting segment. All right, then lastly, before we wrap up this week's podcast and call it a day, I'll quickly go over through week 5. Just a quick little preview here. Like I mentioned, Bears versus Commanders on Thursday. Yeah, Commanders are going to smash them. Jacksonville, Buffalo, that's another London game. Jacksonville, back-to-back weeks in London, so they must have stayed over there. So, yeah, Buffalo is probably going to take care of business there. Atlanta, Houston, probably just going to be the dog shit game of the week. I like Houston in that one. Detroit, Carolina. Detroit's going to handle business at home. Tennessee, Indiana. That's a weird divisional matchup. Should be an interesting game there. Giants versus Dolphins. I mean, the Dolphins at home should just absolutely obliterate the piss-poor New York Giants. New Orleans Saints are at New England Patriots. I would just avoid that game at all costs. Don't watch it. Don't bet on it. Sit all your fantasy players if you can from that game. Pittsburgh versus Baltimore. That'll be a good divisional matchup. It's tough that Kenny Pickett can't play in this one, so it's probably Baltimore. Cincinnati, Arizona. yeah, give me Arizona, especially if Joe Burrow plays. Cincinnati's done. Really unfortunate, but I think Arizona gets this one done. Philly versus LA Rams. I mean, Philly should take care of business in that one. Jets versus Denver. It's the reunion of Nathaniel Hackett with his old team that fired him last year. Should be interesting. Some weird bad blood in that game. So we'll see what happens in that one. Chiefs versus Vikings. For the Lions' sake, really happy that Minnesota is playing the Chiefs this week. Chiefs barely squeaked by New York Jets last week, so hoping they can bounce back and just handle business against the piss-poor Minnesota Vikings. Ooh, this is a good game. Sunday night, too. Ooh, Dallas versus San Francisco. Just an absolute collision of two powerhouses in the league right now. That one will be fun to watch. Can't wait for that one. And unfortunately, that's followed up on Monday night by Green Bay versus Las Vegas. Yeah, not much to say about that one. I will say Aiden O'Connell looks like dog shit, but it was his first start, so cut the kid a break, I guess, and hopefully he comes back strong against Green Bay and buries Green Bay in this division for the Lions. And yeah, with that, I will leave you with the quote of the week. The worst thing in the world is to feel like people turn on the TV and say, "Oh God, it's that guy again." I'm trying to avoid that. Joe Buck.